Following podcasts may contain themes of an adult or horrific nature when featured within an attraction. It may contain adult language and is not intended for people below the age of 18. Listeners of a sensitive nature should turn off now. All opinions and views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, ScareTour, or any of our associates. Now, let's begin the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the ScareTrack podcast. My name's Mikey and I'm with Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going really well, thank you. How are you?
Well, you live with me, so you should know. It's going good. Sean, how's it going your end?
I am all good, thank you very much, Mikey and Hannah. I'm very happy to be here, yay, as always.
Awesome stuff. So we are going to delve deep into our UK Scares Part 2. This is a two-parter, so if you have missed Episode 1, don't panic. Just go back to the last episode, which is technically Episode 30, but Part 1 of the UK Scares. We covered Farmageddon, Alton Towers, Twisted Attractions, Dr. Frights, and Screamfest Burton, all in that last episode. So this episode, we are going to be covering Tully's Shocktoberfest, Fear Woo! At Avon Valley, Woo! Fort Amherst, Woo! House of the Dead, Woo! Thought Park Fright Nights, and Scare Kingdom. But Woo! Before we go into that, we mentioned this on the last show as well. We have managed to get through quite a lot of scare attractions, along with all our German scares and our Orlando scares. Make sure you go back in the library to check those out from this year Halloween season. But like we say last time, we don't even scratch the surface when it comes to visiting scare attractions, but our good friends ScareTour do. So make sure you head over to the ScareTour website at www.scaretouruk.com, or just head over to their Facebook page. It's updated all the time. That's www.facebook.com/ScareTour. So, like I say, they have all you need to know about every scare attraction in the UK and a lot in Europe and the world. Before we go and talk about, it was mainly Sean's visits to all these parks, actually. I don't think we got to visit any this year. So yay, Sean's going to be taking the lead on this episode. But before we go further, we just wanted to thank absolutely everyone who has bought a piece of ScareTrack merchandise. We mentioned a thank you on the last episode, and since then, more people have bought some stuff. So thank you so, so much. I realised that we didn't actually mention the website on the last episode of where you can get your scare attraction, your scare track merchandise. All you have to do is head over to the website www.smart-fx.co.uk. That's www.smart-fx.co.uk. Just click on the scare track tab, and on there you'll see multiple t-shirts. We have our I'm a Scare Track fan t-shirt, our pumpkin t-shirt, and our fantastic Scare Track cartoon gang drawing, drawn by our fantastic artist, Lou Jones. So, yeah, thank you so much. We just get a small cut off each piece of merchandise sold. Don't worry, we're not getting drunk off it. We're literally a couple of pounds here and there that just helps the running costs of the show. Obviously, we don't get paid to do this. We do it for the love. And we do it to help promote other scare attractions as well. And I think they appreciate that. Because we love talking about our passion, but there are costs involved, and those, you know, couple of pounds per shirt really do help us out. So thank you so, so much. So let's go to it. We are going to go straight in. We're going to skip the news and rumours, skip the listener feedback, they will be coming back when we have our normal episodes. But like we say, we are still on our specials. Episode 31, UK Scares, Part 2. Sean, let's go.
I will take it away.
So we're thinking, what shall we talk about first? Shall we talk about... Let's talk about Tullish Oktoberfest, because we actually visited with you.
Yeah, so let me set the scene, guys. So, it was... I'm rubbish, because I was going to say the date, but... Anyway, it was a cold October evening. Hannah and Mikey have just landed. They went to a hotel to check in to get a couple of hours sleep before the evening. I'm really shit at this.
No, you were doing really well.
I know.
I was in the story. It was like I was there.
I know. Funny. And anyway, and then we met up for a good old Toby Carvery. And
other Carveries are available.
Then we gossiped and then we went to Tully's farm. And it was a Wednesday. Oh, that's what I remember. It was a Wednesday and it was busy as fuck.
It was quite busy, especially for a Wednesday. We were really surprised.
But we usually hit Tully's earlier on. So we've never seen it sort of that late on in the season. It's usually one of our first.
True.
It was good. And I'm going to say now, we have a video coming out. Whether it's already come out, I'm not sure. But I am working on it. Sorry, Mikey and Hanny.
So it may have come out before the show's out. It may come out after the show's out.
Are you still trying to pick a song? Is that it?
I'm trying to pick a song and I'm trying to make my computer actually work.
Oh, you haven't got a Mac, have you?
I do, but it doesn't...
Other laptops are available.
Anyway.
So we need to talk about these attractions. Now, the first new attraction at Tullish Oktoberfest that we do have to mention is the Coven of 13. Mm. I really love that attraction.
Yeah, me too. I don't know whether it's because, obviously, like I say, I'm a huge fan of Tully's Farm. I go there all the time. I'm not sure whether it's just because it's such a new attraction that I liked it so much, or whether the fact that I think it was pretty out there this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there was loads of scariness and it was really intense and whatnot. It was just... The opening scene was something that I'd never seen before. I think we're gonna have to mention it. It's after Halloween now. Spoiler alert: if you go in next year and you don't want to know, then don't listen for the next minute. But we basically went into a claustrophobia tunnel that was only at waist high, so it felt like you were in like a bog, like a quicksand feeling. Would you say, Sean?
Yeah, I think the idea is walking through a swamp.
Yeah.
So the mud is kind of up to your waist, which are obviously the claustrophobia bags. And then, obviously...
There's a witch!
There's a witch! Mikey was saying, I feel like I'm taking it away from Mikey.
No. I was just saying, they used the lasers, didn't they, to make it look like it was underwater, kind of.
Yeah, so what they had is they had these laser lights fanning across, and inside this inside the building, I'm going to say, it was full of like haze and smoke, so you could see the beam of light or the beam of laser. So as you were walking through the claustrophobia bags to waist height, so was the laser, so it was as if you were walking through something. And then in kind of the middle sections there were witches being dunked for obviously witchcraft. Yeah, and then the things, the scares that got me were the witches that were like jumping out of the water kind of thing.
But yeah, and it then, was really good.
I just thought it was so clever and executed so well. I've just never seen anything like it. I think it blew all of us away.
Yeah, it was impressive. Definitely. And like you said, haven't seen like it, anything like it in the UK.
But I think we'll start seeing a lot more of it now.
Yeah, I obviously think
Tully's are sort of like, they're one of the leaders in the UK scare industry. They've been doing it a long, long time now. They have the biggest crowds, the longest mazes. Whether they're the scariest, that's one to be, you know, discussed at a later date. But they do have impressive sort of scenery, great actors, a real good overall atmosphere. And just a great sort of operation they have running there. So we've got a whole episode to get in here. So let's move on to some other mazes that we've spoke about before, that we've been to before. We had the Cellar returned again. Now the Cellar remained relatively unchanged, apart from the new snake puppet they had last year. This year just full on grabbed you.
Yeah. So last year it moved a little bit, didn't it? But it never came near you. And this year we went through with the guys from Scare Tour, and Laura actually got eaten by the snake. Like the snake, she was in the middle of its mouth.
Yeah.
For ages. That was screaming. Awesome.
It was insane. I think, was I with you when I got eaten as well?
Yeah, I think so.
I absolutely loved it. And the thing is, it was quite forceful as well. Like, it literally got you. Yeah. It clamped you. You weren't going to get out alive. That's what I'm trying to say.
So, yeah, the Cellar, again, I mean, it's a solid maze, relatively unchanged over the last few years, but it's still, it's a very impressive maze that keeps people screaming again and again and again. Along with the Creepy Cottage, returned with its new old name of the Creepy Cottage. Last year, they changed it to the Haunted House. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah, so they changed it to the Haunted House and now changed it back.
It works as the Creepy Cottage. I like it. It's one that's not as scary. It's sort of...
You got a couple of jumps. There's
a good few jumps, but it's the more family-friendly kind of maze, definitely. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously the original, and it's kind of... It's how Tully started, so it's cool.
Yeah, that was really fun. And then we had... Well, Hannah's not going to like this. It was a hooded maze. You don't like hooded mazes. Sean, the hooded maze, we had
Helements.
That's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally forgot then.
I think it's this year, isn't it? I think it was Helements, the Ritual, or the something.
I think so. They try and put a little twist on it. I think they have a new video each year, don't they?
Yeah.
Trying to give it like a little new lease on life or the backstory. But it's that old age question that I think we've mentioned a few times. Do we like hoods or do we hate hoods? Certain hooded attractions I think have been great. The Pit was always a favourite. But other hooded attractions, we just don't get scared, do we? But it's always good to get a good blast of fire at the end.
Oh, yeah, definitely warms you up.
Yeah, I think... I want to say that I've been through better hooded mazes.
Yeah.
And I think with Tully's, this was kind of... the first of its kind in the UK, I want to say. I don't know. I might be wrong.
One of, because it's definitely been there a long time, definitely.
Yeah, I just want to say, I remember they made a massive deal about it being a hooded maze and everyone, you know, wanted to try it out.
Yeah.
And I'm just so used to saying, I think Tully's created this, when, in fact, I know I'm probably wrong. but I want to say it is getting boring now, isn't it?
I think it's the next one that needs updating. I'll be honest, because I think it's been done so long without any changes, and everything else has had that change, or it's just not needed that change, like the Cellar. I think it's the next one to be either updated or scrapped and redone, really.
Do you know... Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Totally. So let's head on to our next attraction, which was the Horror Woods Haunted Hayride, which, again, it's got to be the best hayride in the UK. It's got to be.
It's the best I've done. I did miss the finale this year. I think the finale's been very good the last few years, even though it's been quite samely. There was no dancing nuns this year.
Yeah, there was no sort of comedy aspect to the end, unfortunately.
I know. I was gutted when I found out that it had gone.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like there was a change this year during the actual kind of ride in terms of the set. I've noticed like a lot more set had been added and different scenes.
Yeah, I think they always, although it takes the same sort of route and there's some scenes that are the same, but yeah, I noticed some differences between scenes this year. A lot more talking as well.
Yeah.
One thing I also noticed was the use of lights and how they lit kind of the woods up. And I know this is a very strange thing to talk about, but it just creates the atmosphere, you know, having all the trees lit up, you know, green, orange and purple, it gives kind of a backdrop.
Yeah.
Whereas like before, where it was just, you know, dark woodland trees and you wouldn't be able to see anything, them lighting everything up just gives it that whole new dimension, kind of. I don't know, maybe I'm just rambling, but I thought it was a really nice touch.
It did look really pretty, really beautiful. And what else looks really beautiful as a visual aspect is the colony, which is the next maze. It was new last year. And although I'd never really get the story as much, and I think it always needs more actors in there, although the ones that are in there are rabid, they're insane, they're really good. But it just always feels like it needs more. But the setting, like, it's all wooden, it's all made of wood, like, and it looks like an actual colony has created it, doesn't it? It just,
yeah,
it looks really impressive, that one. Whether it scares so much, not so much, and it has a weird chainsaw finale ending which makes no sense compared to the rest of the attraction, but visually that's the best, I think.
Speaking of chainsaws,
chop chop.
Chop shop.
Sean, what do you think of Chop Shop?
Okay, so I think with this attraction, it's very much, you either catch it on a good day or you catch it on a bad day.
Yeah.
In terms of the amount of, because it's kind of like a rat run for the actors. So the actors can literally be in one place and then another place within seconds. However, the guests that walk through, they have to follow a trail. I just feel that you either get it on a night where there's good actors that run from one section to another section within seconds, or you get kind of a bit of a lame
experience. I'm going to be honest. I mean, last year we were terrorised. Obviously, it's been designed very well, so each actor can scare you at three different points as such.
I didn't mind not getting terrorised this year.
Chainsaws. But it was more of a case of literally around every single corner you were getting bombarded with a chainsaw. This year, we only saw three chainsaws throughout the entire journey. And, you know, you can have that. You can have that in most attractions anyway nowadays, you know. So, yeah. Although the Chop Shop, it can be absolutely amazing and insane, we were really left disappointed by it this year, unfortunately. But that's not to say that it can be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those ones that you can catch on a good day or a bad day. True. Unfortunately, we just caught it on a bad day.
Absolutely. And then I think that brings us to our last attraction, which is a sort of semi-re-theme. It's been Twisted before, Twisted Chaos, Twisted Rock and Roll. It's that sort of clown maze. Well, this year it's come back, but this year it's Pandemoniums, Demon in Capitals.
See what they did there?
Pandemoniums 3D Carnival. So they've gone down the 3D route. So it's not gone down the 3D route, but what's different is that not the whole attraction, again, spoilers, not the whole attraction was 3D, only half of it, which I liked. It gave it that different aspect towards the end of the attraction.
Yeah, I think we were all sort of walking around going, I thought this was a 3D maze. Where's the 3D? And then we suddenly had the 3D. It's like, oh, yeah. I think it was good. I think it kept you on your toes.
Yeah, I think I was, like you guys, I was expecting the whole kind of attraction to be in 3D. So when I walked in, I was like, oh, when are we getting our 3D glasses? Mm. And I was like, oh, maybe they... I was like, maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's, like, next year. Or maybe it's called 3D because, like, the clowns jump out at you. I don't know. I was just coming up
bullshit
with, like,
here, sure.
That's what I was making bullshit up in my head, like, as to excuses why it wasn't 3D, and then I realized, oh, actually, I have to wait till halfway through, and then we get our glasses. Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, I knew this.
It was good quality 3D, though, as 3D mazes go. It was a good one.
It was. I just wish there were more actors.
Yeah,
in the second half, and more actors with like UV paint on their face. I feel like the sets during the 3D part were painted brilliantly, and had good use of chroma depth. However, I felt the actors could be incorporated with the chroma depth. So
yeah, I agree
totally. But nonetheless, a fun maze. Not so scary, but definitely a fun one for the family there.
Of course.
I think that brings us to the end of our Tully Shocktoberfest.
Yeah.
Overall, great time as always. I think a big shout out needs to go to the street team there as well.
They always have an amazing street
They're
team.
They're always amazing. We've been going for the last 4 or 5 years. Last year was amazing, but we just felt there was a slight dip in the street team last year. But this year, they've definitely bought it back to scratch. You know, they've got...
The slutty nurses were back.
Slutty nurses are back. Erin, thank you
Love
so much.
Love
them.
Oh, no, I called him slutty.
You don't know, it's fine. That's a character. They actually wish us a congratulations on our... And they taught you how to blow and take it deep. Anyway, you had to be there. It was really good. So, that was our Tully Shocktoberfest. Sean, you managed to get to Scare Kingdom this year, and we didn't. Missed
Shame
it for the first
it.
Time.
First time in like 5 years that we've missed
2012
it.
2012 was our first visit, so this was the first time we missed it. Was it your first time visiting, Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say, so this is my first time visiting Scare Kingdom, and we literally spent 6 hours on the road trying to get to Scare Kingdom.
Wow.
We had horrendous traffic. We literally left down. We left south at about 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and we didn't get to Scare Kingdom until about 8 o'clock.
Wow.
So it was, although the journey went quick, it was a long old journey.
I bet.
Sorry.
And it's a bit, it's a difficult one. Like, you don't mind if you go into a park that you can then go and get a bite to eat and then watch a bit of the show or then go into this. But it's very different kind of attraction, this. It's similar to Yorkshire Scare Ground, you know, Scare Kingdom. It's five attractions in one long circuit. So you're only really there for an hour anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I knew that it was like a conga line attraction experience in terms of... It's one attraction after the other. I understood that. However, I would say that I was slightly disappointed with how rushed I felt we were through the attractions. I'm only going to put it down to the fact that we arrived late. So unfortunately, we were the last group into every single attraction.
But then that should be even better. You'd think that they didn't need to rush you because of the next group not having to come in.
Yeah, you would have thought. But unfortunately, we had one of the group leaders or team leaders going around following us behind that would then talk to an actor after they finished their scene and we had moved on to another scene. Oh. We would then have the team leader speak to the actor and say, okay, right, you're finished now. So...
Oh,
it kind of ruined it ruined our experience. But do you know what, like, because we're used to it in terms of like we know how it works, like we know how an attraction is run. It has a team leader, actors need to go off, need to go home, so it didn't really ruin our experience as such. It was just a shame we didn't have the full experience that I have seen so widely on Facebook of Scare Kingdom.
Yeah, that's understandable. But how were the attractions? Now, we can only really discuss, along with us two, Manor Mortis, because we've done Manor Mortis multiple times. Now, was it as beautiful as we've made out to you?
It was. It was insane. Honestly, I want to say it's one of the best detailed attractions in the UK.
Yeah, big time.
And that's purely because of how well themed it is. But going slightly back to the first attraction, which was The Sickness.
Okay.
I don't know if you have a list of the attractions.
Yeah, I've got The Sickness. That was first, was it, this year?
Yeah, so The Sickness was a good introductory attraction to, obviously, all of the scare attractions. I enjoyed it. It was very fun. It was quite comical. Unfortunately, we couldn't hear some of the actors because of the sound that was going on. We found that in most of the attractions that the volume of the sound was so intense that we couldn't hear what the actors were saying.
Ah, I see.
So we were just doing the typical English of haha, laughing and nodding, which is probably not what they wanted. But, you know, it was still fun to walk around.
Awesome, awesome. And then what was next?
You're going to have to remind me of the name.
Malum? Or the House of Gaunt.
I'm not sure which one was next, but let's talk about the House of Gaunt, which were the dolls. This was quite an interesting attraction. I want to say it was one of my favourites. I heard quite a lot of stuff about this attraction. Some people saying, oh, it wasn't that good. It wasn't, like, it was very mixed reactions.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it because it was different. So, basically, it was kind of like a maze that you walked through. It was all dark walls. And then they used this kind of gauze fabric to kind of illuminate puppets behind it.
Okay.
So it was like puppets and dolls. Now, the walkways in the House of Gaunt were very, very tight. So it was very claustrophobic. So as you were walking, one of the dolls would light up and you wouldn't expect it. And, like, obviously, as you were so close to it, it would kind of scare you.
Okay, that sounds cool.
It was kind of, yeah, it was something that I haven't seen. And that's why I enjoyed it, because one minute you were walking in pitch blackness, and then the next you would see like this puppet or this doll illuminate behind a wall. So I thought it was well designed.
Sounds quite suspenseful, that. I'm good. I missed it. I like a good suspense scare.
Yeah, it was good. And then obviously some of the dolls moved, some of them were actors, and it worked well, I think.
Awesome. Also, the next maze we've got on our list here is Malum.
Yes, so that, I want to say that was the devil kind of worshipper.
Was that the one at the very beginning?
With the what, sorry?
Oh, sorry, not the very beginning. I'm just reading Scare Tours review here. Hmm. They're saying it was like an introductory scene.
That was the very, very first
when you're locked
attraction.
In a cage.
Because we arrived late, we weren't actually allowed. Well, we didn't go in that.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's yeah. Unusual.
Unfortunately, because we arrived late, they were kind of like, oh, God, yeah, you're late. And then they were like, okay, we'll just put you on the back of the sickness. So, unfortunately, we missed that, the beginning scene.
Well, no worries. Oh, well.
Didn't bother us. It didn't bother us.
How was 666 Brimstone Place?
666 Brimstone Place was quite fun. I like that one. It was, I'm just trying to remember what.
It was like the satanic ruins.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember.
It's so long ago now, isn't it?
I know. It was literally one of the first. It was one of the first screen parks I did this year. I'm trying to feel like if I went through my phone now, just to help me with visuals, I don't know. Ah, this is so annoying when your mind just has a mental block.
Yeah, totally. Well, we didn't get to go this year, but obviously we spoke to Michael at Scare Tour. He said it's very similar to last year's Hell. Now, you obviously didn't do Hell, but it's very sort of the satanic ritual kind of
location-wise, place. Then, it would have been...
It was just not long
it
after...
It would have been after Manamortis,
yeah.
Right, okay. That still doesn't help. I'm so sorry that I cannot help. Oh, right, okay. No, I got you now. Do you know what? I've just looked at the picture and it was the 666. So, yeah, this was the whole devil worshipper and all that stuff. I liked it. It kind of was a bit weird in some places in terms of there's a woman giving birth to a baby on like a ritual.
Oh, that was in Hell. That, they did do that in
Hell.
Oh,
okay. So it was obviously the same scene. And I thought it was... I've never seen anything quite like it. And again, that's probably what Scare Kingdom is known for, when they're pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, they do like to go all out there. We've got to admire them for that.
Go hard or go home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, in that case, it was amazing. But in the case of a real shock factor, I was like, wow, there's a baby coming out of her vagina. I was like, didn't expect that.
This is a different version to one born every minute.
Yeah, it was like one devil baby born every minute. But other than that, I actually really loved the ending in this, because there was kind of a devil kind of demonic figure placed above us.
Oh, okay.
I think they used it in quite a lot of their promotional photos. And so you actually had to, I'm not going to say you ran out the attraction, but you walked underneath him.
Yeah.
But it was, as you were looking up at him, someone then got you.
I remember that from Hell. Yeah. Hell was one of my favourite attractions last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It looks like it's just a slightly rejigged theme of Hell, which makes sense. 666, Brimstone Place.
Why not?
Yeah, it sounds
If it works, yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah, that was really... So if it's similar to last year, which it sounds like it is, Scare Kingdom, kudos, well done, because that was a friggin' awesome maze. I think next on our list, Sean, is Black Death.
Okay, so this is another hooded maze.
I'm surprised that Scare Kingdom went for a hooded maze.
Do you know what? I'm going to give kudos to Scare Kingdom right here, because they did it well.
Okay.
It's the only hooded maze that I've been through where I've actually thought, do you know what? That's actually a pretty good attraction.
Okay.
It kind of told the story of, well, obviously it's called Black Death. So for me walking in it without knowing any other backstory, it kind of was like a plague story, you know, like the Great Plague of London and all that kind of stuff. And for me, it worked so well because having this hood on my head, and again, Atmosphere are good at telling stories. So as I walked through, there was smells, there were sounds of people saying, oh no, like the plague's upon us, like don't go through, like blah blah blah, and there was a story to us walking, you know.
Okay.
And there were actors telling us the story, and then there will be actors like spraying water on our hands saying, oh, you've been infected, blah blah blah. And I just thought that was a really nice touch, because having the hood over your head leaves you with your own imagination.
Yeah, I suppose your own senses are heightened as well.
Exactly. So whereas like somewhere like Tully's that just have the hooded maze and like creatures growling at you, with this, Black Death gave you kind of narration.
Okay.
And you had to picture the story. And I thought that was kind of spot on and what a hooded maze attraction should be. I thought they'd done it well.
Awesome. And the last attraction then is their upcharge attraction. So a little bit of backstory here. It used to be Psychomantium for the last, I think, three years. And that's been their extreme alone attraction. It's their psychosexual clinic. I really enjoyed it, not for a scare attraction, but for something different. Other people hated it. Now, that was scrapped. It came to its end. The journey came to its end, and they replaced it with Snuff House Alone. Now, Snuff House After Dark is their four-hour take on an extreme horror simulation experience. It seems to me that they've just cut that short into a quick sort of 5 to 10 minute experience.
I think someone was in there for 20 minutes.
Wow. Well, it all depends, apparently, doesn't it? Some people can be in there for 3, some for 20. I'm not entirely sure. We didn't get to go through it. Sean, were you brave enough to do it?
I did it.
No way.
Yeah, did you not know?
No.
I went through Snuff House.
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't have said you would have.
Now, full disclosure, you're not allowed to actually say what happened, are you?
I don't know, am I?
I don't.
Pretty
I think,
sure you're not allowed.
I think you signed something to say you can't talk what happened in there.
Oh, so I can't talk about...
Not really. Like, you can talk about... We all know people came out smelling like fish.
Okay. Well, I won't obviously give anything away, but I was obviously very... I wasn't scared, but I was excited to find out what was going to happen to me in Snuff House. I was kind of, you know, I was bracing myself to be kind of manhandled.
Yeah.
And that's what I was actually secretly wanting, because obviously I'm too scared to go through Cracked. I don't really like these kind of survival escape games, nor do I agree with kind of physical hurting of people in an attraction.
Of course, yeah.
But with Snuff House, obviously I knew it was an attraction, and I know Atmosphere are good with kind of storytelling, and I was expecting there to be, you know, I just was see, now I'm kind of slipping up as to what I can say and what I can't say.
Yeah.
But I was expecting there to be, I don't know what the word is. Because I don't want to get in trouble if I'm not allowed to say anything. Anyway, so I'll just kind of rewind.
Just tell us how it made you feel.
So, I went in and things happened. I was manhandled and I loved it. but unfortunately for me, my experience only lasted around about 2 minutes.
Oh, wow, that's really short.
That wasn't because I chickened out or I was in any way kind of scared or wanted to leave. It was just the fact that that was my time up kind of thing.
Okay.
And I want to say, again, it was just because we were so late that they were pushed for time. Even though they were still... Oh, yeah. But unfortunately, my experience was just very, very short. So I just came out, you know, smelling of fish.
That's the bit that scares me. Now, I, as we know, I did cracked, and
you nutter.
I had to quit before the fish thing came in. That smell, I couldn't do it. But and I like an extreme scare. I think there's a difference between intense and extreme. Again, that's a whole other show. We can talk about that.
We could argue about that forever.
Yeah, but it a fair play to Scare Kingdom for doing something so bold and brash of. I mean, I don't think I'd like to leave a fun evening with my friends or family after going through 5 awesome fun scare attractions that are basically boo haunts, you know, they jump out, scare you, you laugh, to then go into this thing that coming out stinking of rotting fish.
Yeah.
I'm surprised many people did it.
That's how some people felt about Psychomantium. Like, I felt
you never came out smelling, though.
Coming out knowing that I've had a naked woman on top of me.
I did not feel dirty whatsoever.
I felt like I needed to go and wash all my clothes.
I just want to say, like, what I was trying to say is I knew that Scare Kingdom wouldn't have any kind of physical punishment or too extreme. Though I was excited to see if they did push the boundaries for me, not to say that other people's experiences were the same as mine, because quite clearly on Facebook, you know, we had Liam Bailey come out wrapped up in clean film.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so I was, every person's experience was different. Mine, unfortunately, was very short.
But at least you said you can do it.
Yeah. At least, yeah. Oh, you need to do it. It was fun.
Yeah.
I liked
not
it.
Not even if you paid me.
Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of Scare Kingdom. It sounds like you had an absolutely awesome time.
Yeah, it was good. Shame about how late we got there, but you can't deal with that.
Totally.
Oh, well.
So, next up on our list is Thought Park Fright Nights. Sean, we didn't get to go this year because we're in Orlando. It's the first time we haven't got to go in... We started going in 2010, so six...
So before we got together?
Yeah, so we got together, yeah, absolutely. So in case anyone doesn't know, Thought Park Fright Nights went through a sort of re-theme a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, when they merged with Lionsgate. They already had the Saw Maze, but they scrapped a lot of their other ones for new ones such as Cabin in the Woods, The Blair Witch Project, My Bloody Valentine, all the Lionsgate films. Over time, it looks like they're slowly phasing them out. So, for example, last year they had The Big Top. This year they had The Big Top and Platform 15. So now they only have like 3 sort of Lionsgate film attractions. So there's just sort of phasing them out. My Bloody Valentine left this year.
That's a shame because that was one of my favourites.
It was one of my faves, but last year it was so short because they had a smaller space to use that they didn't even have the whole hospital scene, which was...
A crucial scene.
So, Sean, you got to go this year. Tell us about... Let's talk about ones that we've all done before. So how was Saw Alive?
Okay, so Saw Alive, we... had okay so I just first off want to say I went twice this year to Fright Night.
Lucky bastard.
So I'll talk about my first time experience. So Saw Alive was really good. It was again very... It was on the first night they opened, so everyone was pretty out there. All the actors were...
Sweet.
Were on par. Is that the right word?
Yeah, on par.
So, yeah, all the rooms kind of were the same, obviously. They did kind of rush through the first scene, which was like the Jigsaw wants to play a game with you.
Yeah.
Like the SWAT team, get in, kind of that. That was kind of scrapped, which is fine. But all in all, it was probably one of the kind of best attractions. Again, don't know whether that's just because it has a really good set.
The scenery of that maze is awesome. We got to look at it actually with the lights on in at ScareCon 2015, and it does attention to detail is amazing.
Yeah, of course, this was one of their was meant to be a long-standing attraction, so yeah. Which is why.
Awesome. Next up, let's talk about the Blair Witch Project. Well, actually, this year it's called just Blair Witch, renamed from the Blair Witch Project, because there's a new sequel movie coming out, isn't there?
I think it's come out.
Yeah, is there?
Has it come out?
I think so.
I don't know. How was Blair Witch? It's more of a scare zone more than... Well, I say zone, not what a scare zone should be. It's more of a walkway outside, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is an attraction, isn't it? They class it an attraction, so that's what they call it. And, yeah, I mean... It's the same.
Was it the same?
It is the same. Yeah. However, I did speak to one of the guys, and he goes, "Oh, did you?" This was like one of the Thought Park's kind of just hosts, and he was like, "Oh, did you think it was any different?" And I was like, "Oh, no, not really." He was like, "Well, we've added more bushes," and I was like, "Okay, cool." I was like, "You might want to add, you know." Some betterness to it.
Some betterness. Okay, let's move swiftly on from bushes. Another attraction we've all managed to do, which is a non-linear attraction. It's an attraction that you can sort of make your own way through doors and see different scenes. Whether that's a great thing, whether that's a bad thing, we can always discuss that. Sean, how was Cabin in the Woods this year?
For me, it was one of the best attractions.
Oh, awesome. Because it's always hit and miss, isn't it?
Hmm.
It's always hit and miss, that one. But I've got to say, the whole kind of, you know, choosing your own door to go through is a fun experience for guests. And I think that's what I like about it. I also like the fact that you come across kind of unusual creatures.
Yeah, the actual theme of the maze is great. The film's fun as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. So for me... It was a good indoor kind of maze.
Awesome. See, the thing with that is, like we say, it's a non-linear attraction, so you can sort of go into a maze, go into a room, see a scene, close the door.
You can spend
so much time in there. But the problem is that certain things happen in each scene, like an actual piece of theatre, for example, that sometimes you can just miss the scene.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the non-linear attractions in the UK have been slightly progressive, and... For example, Subspecies is a non-linear attraction, and there's no sort of set scene that you have to see. It's just action throughout those non-linear sections, which I just think works better, far better. Like, Subspecies, I think it works far better than Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, I think the issue with Cabin in the Woods is a lot of the scenes, they react off both entrance and exit doors being closed.
Yeah.
Whereas when you've got so many people in the maze... You don't actually get a chance to shut the door you came through because other people are coming through it. So the sort of scene doesn't take place because the lighting cues don't go off because both doors aren't closed. So you just sort of walk through and don't realise that you've missed an actor and missed a scene. And I find that happens regularly. Well, it did last year. I don't know if it did
maybe
this year.
The doors are the hindrance then. Like, Subspecies doesn't use doors and other non-linear attractions. Maybe those are the doors. But, Sean, you say it was one of the strongest of the night. Did you have a particular favourite character in there? We still want to see a merman.
I love a good merman.
I love a merman in there. Maybe towards the end. Do you know, it was a good attraction. There was no real, character that stood out for me. But it was just, like you said, the whole linear of it and how kind of free-flowing it is.
Yeah, I do like a good free-flow maze.
Yeah.
Cool. Next up on the list was the big flop. Sorry, the big top. Now,
How did the big top flop for you this year?
Last year, we always try and be positive and add a critique. You know, like we say before, it's only our opinions. If people want to listen to it, thousands of you do, which is great. Thank you, and a lot of Scare Attractions do as well. We mentioned before, we get phone calls and emails and texts. It's lovely off you guys, but the big top was crap last year, and we all have to say it because it wasn't even ready. It didn't look ready. It was three buildings of wasted space, and the actors hadn't even seen it until an hour before we went through it, because we went on press night, and it was just really, really naff.
Disorganised, I think is better than that.
Disorganised, okay. This year I've heard good things, Sean.
Yeah, so obviously you've just expressed kind of all of our views from last year. This year, I actually found it to be better. I think they definitely upped their game on it.
Yeah.
It still wasn't the greatest attraction. However, hats off to them for kind of putting effort into using all the available space and using sets. Mm. I like the fact that they used old props from Thorpe Park, like old ride pieces, old ride cars.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, so they actually used some of those sets in what they called the clown prop house.
Yeah.
So you walk through different scenes and different sets throughout the attraction, one of which was the prop house, and obviously they used old iconic props from Thorpe Park. They also had kind of a harass fencing strobe maze.
Oh, a bit like Asylum, then.
A bit like Asylum. But it all didn't fit. But, you know, it is what it is.
But much better than last year, at least.
It was much better than last year. Still wasn't great, but it was much better than last year.
Awesome. And then that brings us on, like we say, they are really moving away from Lionsgate, aren't they? They I don't think they know what their identity is, to be honest.
No, I'm going to give like Thorpe Park a roundup at the end of this.
Okay, sweet.
I've been waiting for this all night.
Okay. Let's quickly talk about Platform 15, then give you your Thorpe Park roundup before we move on to our next park. So, Platform 15, brand new for this year, big hype, good or bad?
Bad.
Oh, no.
Straight away, bad. Oh, my God. It was like the big flop. It was just like the big flop last year. It was terrible, absolutely terrible. Now, I mean, we tend to stay positive on reviewing attraction. I feel like we always give an honest review.
Honest review, yeah. We don't like to just go, that was shit.
No, so
we like to find the positives in certain things, yeah. But yeah, go on.
So the positive side of Platform 15 is it has potential. The kind of negative side of it is the attraction itself. It's not what Merlin or Thorpe Park should be creating, you know?
Yeah.
It was another Blair Witch. You walked through, it was just walking. You walked and walked and walked, and it got boring. Yes, there were actors that kind of made their way around you, but it was just boring. So
there's no like sets or anything.
No, there were no sets. So all it was you got taken along kind of the old track. So it was all about you were going on to an old platform. So you were walking along the tracks, of which once was a Thorpe Park train ride. Okay. So you're walking along the tracks. And you were told that, like, something about, like, the ghosts of the track kind of thing. And so as you were walking along, you came across some creatures. There was actually a train. I want to say it was the original train that Thorpe Park used. And you could see it in a distance. And it had flames on it. Right. And it sounds kind of cool. But when you walk past it, the flames all kind of died out. Obviously, I'm guessing for safety reasons. Mm. But, you know, it would have just been nice if you could walk past something that, you know, was a bit of a spectacle, especially like somewhere like Thorpe Park.
Yeah.
so all the flames died out and you just literally walked past this old train. And then you got to an entrance of a tunnel. And again, you had about another 5 minutes of walking, just empty walking, dead space. It was all lit up, kind of blue. And then you got to a tunnel where you were greeted by an actor that kind of said, beware of the train conductor. Basically, the train conductor had died within the tunnels. And so as you were walking through, a plastic tunnel, all it was black plastic.
I think I saw this when I was on Saw.
So
on the ride. I saw him building it, just long plastic tunnels.
All it was a black plastic tunnel, and that was it. And when you walked through, you heard kind of noises and like just weird kind of noises. And then there was also an actor leading you in the tunnel that was like, shh, we need to stay here. I can hear the train conductor. And then suddenly towards the end, you saw the train conductor, which can only be described as like mangled on the ceiling.
Okay.
With a reveal by strobe lights. So it was kind of like this big, like the actor that was playing the guide kind of was over the top, really dramatic, like, oh my God, it's coming. It's going to come. And then suddenly like these strobe lights went off and the train conductor was on the ceiling with like half his legs hanging off. And again, it was really poorly done.
That's a shame.
It was like having a plastic leg just hanging there. You know, it didn't even look real.
So go on then, give us your sort of overall thought park views.
Hang on, that's not all the attractions.
What are we missing?
Did you do containment?
Oh, did you do containment?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I did do containment.
I'm sorry, pal. Carry on. Go with containment.
So containment was, again, this was, I feel like it was an uplift.
Okay.
A charge. There was a charge to this. We went through, and it was an escape game. It was really, really good. Really well done. It only lasted about 5 minutes.
Oh, you escaped pretty quick then.
Yeah, well, we did. We were a pretty good team. But I can understand why it's an uplift, obviously, because it is. It's a detailed game.
So how much more also, was it? How much was the
I want to say it was either £5 or £10. I fortunately didn't actually pay for it.
Ooh.
But I want to say it was £5 or £10.
Sweet.
The whole game experience was really fun, and that's the kind of attraction that I was expecting from Thought Park, even though we know what Thought Park's like. So my kind of roundup of Thought Park, based on two nights. So the first night I went was really quiet and really kind of dead. However, the mazes were all kind of standard. And at that point, I was let down by Thought Park. I was like, man, are they really giving us the same old stuff that they try and polish? You know the saying, you can't polish a turd?
Yeah.
With Thought Park's attractions, you really can't polish them. They just need to be scrapped and rethought and replanned.
They just need to be flushed and wiped.
Exactly. Yeah. It needs to be gone, you know? And with this branding with Lionsgate, I feel like they're giving Lionsgate a bad name.
Yeah.
You know, I was really hoping that someone from Lionsgate would come in and be like, what the hell are you doing, guys? Like, this is not what we signed up to. However, obviously, I don't know the ins and outs, and I'm only saying this as a spectator of what I really wish Thought Park had done.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to Alton Towers, there was theming everywhere. Thought Park, there was none. They still kind of play off this whole idea that you're entering a movie park, because they had the audio of "Welcome to Thought Park's movie studio," and it was like, really, where's the action kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a bit naff.
So it was poor, so poor. And do you know what? The friends that I went with were like, "We're not paying for this again."
all I've heard, and again, we don't like to be negative, because I'm sure there are some fantastic scares, and some of their attractions can be fantastic. I love Saw.
Yeah.
I enjoy Cabin.
I used to love My Bloody Valentine
and Asylum. God, we miss Asylum. It feels like the last few years they've just been getting, their scares have been getting worse and worse, but their crowds have been getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
and
so
they can't cope.
No, this is what was going to lead me on to my second night and my second point. I want to say, like, this isn't probably down to the creators and the designers of, you know, Fright Nights. It's probably literally management that tell them that they physically can't go above and beyond what they already have. Because when I went on my second night, it was heaving. It was so busy. You were seeing queues for Blair Witch over 3 hours.
What?
That's just a walkthrough. Like,
yeah. Wow. This is what was so insane. So where Blair Witch is located, it was like near the kind of, like, I want to say, like, the western part, like,
yeah.
So literally all of that space was just filled with kind of the harass fencing, the harass queue fencing, the one that kind of comes up to waist height. Yeah.
Harris fencing, sorry.
This fence doesn't touch you up or harass
doesn't
you.
Harass fencing. Sorry, I'm just so in the moment. So yeah, it was literally, I asked the guy, I was like, and he goes, yeah, it's 3 hours. I was like, are you for real? I was like, I can't believe this. And then again, platform 15. Yeah, this one's 3.5 hours. And I was like, wow. I was like, this is insane.
Not being funny.
And then, and then it got worse. I was looking around, and the amount of people that were just, you know, abusing the park, that were starting fights. I saw 3 fights in the car park.
Oh my God.
It was horrendous. I've never felt kind of so unsafe.
Lovely
to be at a
park clientele.
I got to say, like, there were security guards and there were ambulances and there were, but, you know, and I can't say they just needed more, because you can't expect that kind of stuff. But the fact is that Thorpe Park guests treat it with such disrespect that I can honestly see now why Thorpe Park won't invest in creating a good Fright Nights kind of thing.
Yeah, but you can also argue it works too. I mean, there's no excuse for people to fight and whatnot.
No, there's no excuse.
No excuse. But if you go to Thorpe Park, which I might be wrong, so I may bring me up on this, but I'm pretty certain their capacity, it's only a small park, their capacity is 14,000. I'm pretty certain that's the case. And bear in mind, Orton's house is 28,000. Again, I think people might have to... Roughly. How the hell can a park that has 5 attractions open from 3 o'clock till 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Have queues of over 3 hours... We were at Halloween Horror Nights, and granted, we have Express because we didn't want to wait in the longer queues. The longest American Horror Story got at Halloween Horror Nights in Universal Orlando, Florida, was just under 3 hours. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a hellish long wait. And their capacity is far more than 14,000.
30,000?
I wouldn't like to quote.
50,000?
Stop guessing, because they're not that big.
It's more than Towers.
100,000.
Yes. And Towers is 28, roughly.
Yeah, but the park isn't bigger than Orton Towers.
Yeah, but their capacity's more.
Well, I'm doubtful, because it's
but
not
you
as
just
big.
Said, yeah.
It might be, because okay. I don't know. don't put numbers into my head if I don't
well,
know.
Well, Mikey said it's 30,000, sir.
Either way, there's a hellish... I can tell there's a lot more people there. But obviously they do have 9 attractions. Anyway, coming back to Thorpe Park, there's no way it's worth queuing 3 hours for a Thorpe Park maze, no matter how good it is. Isn't it? Well...
Right.
I love scare attractions. That's why we do this podcast. There's no way I'd queue over an hour and a half for a maze.
Even though we would travel 4 hours in a car to get there, I probably wouldn't get in a 3-hour queue.
No, I agree.
No, it was just a disappointment, you know. I think if Thorpe Park want to ever up their game, they're going to, and I was saying to this with the people that I went with, they need, like, crowd control, they need security, they need the seats that lifeguard sits on, looking at the queues, making sure people won't queue jump. Do you know what, I'm not a fighter and I don't like confrontation, but that night, I got into two kind of confrontations with people.
No.
And that, yeah,
but
that was
like
because
a little puppy.
I know. And the friend that I went with was so shocked when I started giving it all this, because I was just so pissed that these guys had queue jumped. This was in the Saw Alive queue. They had queue jumped and they were like, oh no, we're just seeing our friends.
Hang
and I was
on,
like,
how'd you queue jump in the Saw Alive queue? The fences are like twice your height.
They were just pushing past me and I didn't move. And I was like, don't touch me. Don't push me. I was one of those. And then they were like, I was like, I'm not moving and you're not getting past me. And I was actually a bit scared at this point, but I was standing my ground. And then people started looking, as they do. And then one of their friends came over. She came down the other end of the queue and was like, mate, what seems to be the hold up? And I'm doing like a chav accent because that's what they were. No, actually, I can't say that because that's not
politically correct. We've already said it, so carry on.
But I felt so intimidated and so kind of like, where is the Thorpe Park security when I need them, you know? I kind of needed an adult to say, look, help these people. And in the end, they actually just jumped over the fence because me and my friend were standing our ground that we weren't going to move. So they just jumped over the fence. And even though there was security around, they still didn't do anything about it.
It's scary when it happens, isn't it? Like, I had it happen to us, and I don't remember what I did.
You blacked out at Alton Towers.
I didn't black out as in pass out, but I actually don't remember what I said or what I did.
Yeah, so we're digressing a little bit here.
I know, I'm sorry.
But very quickly, yeah, it was opening week of the Smiler, and we were in a queue for 3 hours to try and get into it because we wanted to get on it. It's a brand new roller coaster, so we'd waited 3 hours, and all of a sudden, big beastly chavvy girl in a grey trackies, you know, just sort of moved the fence to try and push in. And she would have pushed in and got on it within 10 minutes. Like
that's how close it was because
we were queuing on the opposite side to the ride before the ride actual queue started opening. So she would have just walked in and missed a 3 hour queue when we were. There was a whole queue behind us of over 3 hours. Hannah just full on punched
I didn't punch anyone.
But pushed the hell out of this woman. You were just like, no, no. And Hannah just goes, after she pushes her back, goes, get out! I've been waiting for 3 hours! Move! No! There's me and Hannah's younger brother going, shit, this girl's bigger than me. Do you know what I mean? And Hannah walking towards the ride, what happened? I just blacked out. I don't know what happened. But anyway, sorry. That was a bit of diversing there a little
bit.
No,
I know. But
it's a shame you had a disappointment. I mean, it's not all Thorpe Park's fault, but yes. They can't organise a piss up at a brewery.
Do you think, speaking of breweries, do you think that a lot of the issues were maybe alcohol related?
I don't know. And I would never kind of just say, look, it's all Thorpe Park's fault, because I'm not one of those people that goes to a theme park.
But it's a culture that we live in now where people...
Yeah.
Muck about and they're violent all the time. I mean, I work in a pub, I see it all the time.
Yeah,
and that's,
I just want
to. What makes me think, like, Tully's before has done no alcohol policies. Is that something that's an issue and maybe why people were being so violent and aggressive in Thorpe Park?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Tully's because I was going to quickly, briefly touch base with the fact that Tully's security are hot on it.
They're amazing, you know, they really are.
They've confiscated alcohol off me before.
Yeah, but the thing is, they are... If something happens in an attraction, they will leg it and be there within seconds to catch the people as they come out of the attraction.
Yeah.
And I've seen it firsthand. And the fact that Thorpe Park, you know, I'm not going to say that things happen in their attractions, but I'm just saying that they need a tighter security and they need more effort.
Everything just seems to need to be... Not being funny, I think we should stop bashing Thorpe Park too much, because though like we say, we do love it. We love it, really.
Yeah, we love the theme park.
We still go. But we were going through Saw Alive one year, and a big white light came on in the first room, and the actor and the host both went to each other, what's that? Why is that big light came on? It took me to go to them and go, I think it's an e-stop. oh yeah, it's an ace stop. Oh, come out, guys. What the hell?
Yeah.
You should be telling me it's an E stop. I shouldn't be telling you. Another time when we're on the way to inside asylum, so going back 3 years, a guy, a host, halfway through, forgot his safety speech. He forgot his safety speech at the front of asylum, God. And he was mumbling and jumbling and trying to make jokes, and it was embarrassing for Thorpe.
You don't make a joke whilst doing a safety speech.
We had to say it for him.
Yeah. Without being an absolute dick. It was like...
No, we were dead like, polite. We were like, mate, we know what
like,
you've got
I
to say.
I was like, claustrophobia, yeah. If you're heavily pregnant, yeah. Epileptic, yeah, yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm going to really quickly say, we had a guy on platform 15 say, if you suffer from ellipsis. And we burst out. We were in hysterics. And he
ellipsis.
Didn't know why. We were laughing so much, and we were like, do you mean epilepsy? And he was like, well, it says here ellipsis, so it's ellipsis. And he was not budging the fact, and I was like, no, it's epilepsy. Oh my God.
I wonder
hilarious.
If he knows what ellipsis is.
I don't even know what ellipsis is.
Oh, it's a pause. So you know when you're reading something and there's three dots?
Oh, so do you think... No, I don't think he was...
He didn't actually... Because you imagine if he said, full stop, hyphen, question mark...
I don't think he would have... He wasn't reading anything. He just said ellipsis.
He just can't read epilepsy.
Yeah. So whether he had learnt the speech and has just been going epilepsy or ellipsis, I was like, oh. But it had us in chuckles all night.
Oh
highlight
God.
Of the night.
Anyway, poor Thorpe Park.
Far too long about that.
Let's just say some good mazes, some bad mazes.
Let's work on it for next year.
Okay, next up, you visited Fort Amherst. And we're so jealous. We've always wanted to go to Fort Amherst.
It's just so far down south.
So Fort Amherst, it's slightly different. It doesn't have, like, multiple mazes. It's like an hour-long scare attraction, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a full hour-long kind of immersive experience.
Okay.
It starts off... you go in groups, you have time slots, you go in a big group, I want to say of 20, 25, and you kind of walk around the grounds of what was once a fort, obviously, in the war. So you go through kind of tunnels, you go through caves, you go through woodland, you go through like abandoned buildings, and how they work is you go on a bit of a trail, and then you... stop in a scene, and then something in the scene happens.
Okay.
Whether it be dialogue, whether it be kind of the lights go out, and then a strobe light comes on, and there's creatures roaming around. That is kind of what happens. And then you walk, and then you go to the next kind of
bit of
set.
Action.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know it's always on the top of Scare Tours list every year.
Yeah.
Was it your first year visiting?
It was my first year visiting.
Was it like as intense as they say?
It's, I want to say, I believe when I went, I found it not to be intense, but to be an enjoyable night out and something different.
Okay.
I feel like in previous years it has been intense because many people I know have said how intense it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And someone that I went with this year said, oh, this is like... It wasn't as intense as it has been previously, but there was one room, you know, like the Silent Hill nurses.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
So there was this room full of these Silent Hill nurses and like abandoned beds, like hospital beds. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if all of these moved? I was like, but they're obviously dummies. And then suddenly the lights went out, strobe lights came on, and they all moved.
Wow.
And we had to walk past them. And then you do get touched in this attraction, have to say that. And I like that, you know. I like the fact that I can be kind of, not forced, but how I, like, for someone to grab my arm or something.
Mm. Yeah, little touches, I think, help a scare attraction.
Yeah.
So with these nurses, you know, brushing against me,
ooh,
doing their kind of clockwork figure movements, and then for the doctors... to be like manhandling me. I remember one of them, I think, grabbed my leg, and I was at this point, I was really quite scared because
obviously I wasn't expecting all the nurses to move, nor was I expecting it to be that big of a scene. And it was great. I had a really, really fun time.
Awesome. I'm really glad. We do need to try and get there, but it's always difficult because they only run for 1 week, don't they? So.
Oh, do they?
I think one or two, but it's always towards the end, and that's when we're most busy of October. Yeah. So, but no, well, I'm really glad you had a great time.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it for anyone down south that you know, or anyone that's coming to like to do an attraction down here, to definitely try and get to it. And all the proceeds go to help restore the fort, which I think is kind of nice.
They're all a bunch of volunteers, aren't they? There, so
yeah, all the actors are volunteers as well.
Fair play. And
it was really quite. They worked well. You know, the actors really did work well.
Awesome. Okay, so the next attraction you visited was House of the Dead. Now, me and Hannah visited House of the Dead last year. They had it in Manchester, and they've also opened a second house in. Was it Bluewater?
Yeah, so I visited in Bluewater.
Okay. Now, when we visited, we were a little bit disappointed. Okay, let's be honest. We were really disappointed.
We argued all the way home.
Yeah, we argued. Just could put us in such a bad mood. Like, there's some bits that the theming of it was fantastic.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Visually, it was stunning. Some acting was great, but they used a hell of a lot of rooms, which were just called waiting rooms. And you would just wait there for something to happen.
For 10 forever. Minutes.
And
yeah.
Groups that came in behind you would go in front of you and you'd be moved with another group and just left in a room for 20 minutes with nothing happening. It was basically a 10-minute long scare attraction that they'd spaced out into 40 minutes. And it was...
It's the only ever scare attraction that I've got my phone out in.
Oh, everyone was. Everyone was in
there
one
was
room,
to do.
And we were all just playing on our phone. Everyone got bored. It was so boring.
But that was last year.
That was last year. How was yours, Sean?
So, I want to say they got better.
Good stuff.
However, they did have a waiting room. So I don't know how many waiting rooms you had, but we had one waiting room. I want to call it a waiting room. And it was kind of like a ringmaster's room. So it had kind of the circus ringmaster that was a big, jolly guy that was talking to us. And he made us sit in these seats. And then he told visitors to go into the attraction one by one.
Right.
We didn't have anyone come in to that scene, like any more guests or any more groups come into that scene until we were all out. But that was a good 10 minutes.
Okay. Was that at the beginning of the attraction, was it?
That was right at the beginning of the attraction.
I suppose that's not too bad then, because you know you normally have to queue to get into an attraction anyway, don't you? So
yeah, well, we did queue at the top as well as sitting in there for 10 minutes kind of thing.
Okay.
However, the ringmaster was just chatting kind of general shit to us.
Okay.
And I kind of say shit because he was really quite rude to some of the people. Now, I'm all for kind of laughing in an attraction. And there's a difference between being funny rude and being downright insultive and rude. He was pretty insultive to a lot of people, using words that I wouldn't necessarily use in an attraction.
Okay, wow.
I don't really want to go into too much detail about it because it didn't offend me to the point where I feel like I need to talk about it, but it's offended me to the point where I feel like they need to cut that bit out.
They needed to tell
the actor to be like, you know, you can't say that.
And you're not easily offended.
No, but it was like, you know, I haven't just paid, you know, 15 quid to sit here and for you to offend me like you've just offended me.
Mm.
I'm like, but you know what? It doesn't bother me, you know? It's kind of like, you know, it wasn't like school bullying, like playground bullying, but it was kind of like, you know, why did you need to say that?
Yeah.
And he wasn't just, like, I'm not directing it what he said to me personally, but I overlooked, like, he was talking to other people and, like, he was just not a nice man.
Okay.
So, I'm going to leave it at that point.
Okay.
Anyway, so we moved on, and like you said, the sets were pretty visually nice. You know, they were good sets. wasn't anything amazing, but there were good sets.
Okay.
We had... I feel like we had a good run. I'm going to say I had a good time in there. I came out feeling happy, unlike you guys that you said you came out arguing. we came out, and yes, it was advertised as, you know, a 30 to 40 minute experience. I want to say we were in there about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. So not as long as they'd advertised.
No, which I think a lot of people were annoyed about.
Yeah.
However, I don't know how your experience was with the actors, but our actors were really, really, they were really interactive with us.
Mm.
I feel like they had a script that they were talking, and they obviously improvised with us because they were interacting with us. But it was really kind of nice to have that interaction with the actors. And again, none of these guys were rude. It was literally just the fat ringmaster that was rude. However, like, we went through like a Mad Hatter scene, which was really visually nice. Like, it had toastals, it had like cards, like floating cards, it had the Mad Hatter. I just want to say, it didn't flow well.
We found ours was very, it's very random, and there's nothing wrong with having things in it. It was good, but it's the fact with our one, different to yours, seems you'd be in, like, we had a ringmaster's room, but it was halfway through the attraction.
Right.
And we just had to wait there while he was making a girl dance.
No chairs.
No chairs, just stand up there halfway through, like 50 people nearly crammed in this room.
And that was sweating. Straight after we'd stood in a clown room with no clown for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It was so bizarre. But, sorry, like we said, we're not talking about that one. I think, actually, without sounding too negative on the podcast, we need to bring it up in a minute because it sounds like the last 10 minutes have been so negative.
That sounds like a great time to move
no,
on.
No, no, no. So,
one.
Overall, The House of the Dead, I feel like, from your experience to my experience, it did improve.
Good stuff.
It had improved. I want to say, in every kind of scene, you know, we had the clowns in our scene, and we actually... We loved the clowns. The clowns were hilarious. At one point, we even made the clowns kind of break out of character and make them laugh because it was just such a funny scenario that they had us in.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny when you can make someone else laugh because then you start laughing. And then they just went straight back. Yeah, it was contagious.
Awesome.
So overall, the actors were fine and it was a nice little attraction.
Perfect. So the last place you visited without us, of course.
Sorry, guys. I feel like I've been talking this whole podcast.
Well, last episode was this. This episode is more you. You got to go to Fear at Avon Valley. Now, we got to go last year, and we were blown away by it. We absolutely loved it. It's won a SCAR award at this year's annual ScareCon event. I think it was for Best Multimedia. That was for their video at the beginning of Purgatory. Phobia. How was it this year, Sean? Was it amazing as last year?
It was. It was amazing. So, first off, we were driving along the roads and suddenly we saw like these beams of light, like searchlighting across the night sky. And I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on there. And then we were like, oh my God, it's Fear at Avon Valley. And so, first off, it was such a great kind of entrance to a screen park, a scare park, or whatever you call it. So visually, it was really nice to see, like, in the distance, the searchlights. So that was nice. I was a bit unsure on how the attractions were going to come off, because obviously there were the same three attractions that they had last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, are they going to improve on the attractions? Are they going to do something different? And obviously, I'd like to think I know the team fairly well now.
Yeah.
And so Sam did tell me a couple of things that they are mixing things up. They've obviously called Anarchy Live, and basing it off kind of like a TV studio, like you're going to go into this TV program where you have to kind of like reality TV.
Oh,
where
that sounds
you're
cool.
Like The Running Man.
I'm
not sure my age there.
Yeah, don't know what that is.
Running Man's sort of like an older version of the Hunger Games, I guess.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, yeah, so it was kind of like The Running Man. Not that I've seen it. But it started off like, welcome to, like, you. They had, like, staff in, like, Anarchy Live t-shirts, like, production staff, and then you went through, like, a wardrobe and costume, and they were like, right, we've got to get you fitted for your costume, and then, like, actors would come through the costume, like, the wardrobes, and it was the same kind of layout, obviously, with the palettes.
Yeah.
However, it had a good, strong ending, and it felt different. So
that's cool, because I really enjoyed it last year, but it was sort of a generic strobe maze as such with little tweaks. But I really like the sort of live TV show aspect of it. That sounds really impressive.
Yeah, I feel like if there were... I would guess that they would bring it back next year because it is a strong attraction.
Awesome.
I feel like instead of kind of trying to change it, they could just improve upon... like, I know they wanted to add TV screens, and so next year they could add that, you know, instead of changing the actual attraction.
Just
I feel
upgrade it.
Like, yeah, they could just add smaller tweaks because it was a good attraction, and I would like to go in it again next year. So please don't change it.
cool. How was Purgatory? Because we loved it.
Yeah, so moving on to Purgatory, again, it was all kind of, it had a fresh feel to it. And that's what I liked about Fear at Avon Valley. Each attraction, I know there was only three attractions, but they all felt fresh. So Purgatory had a much, I kind of want to say a much better ending. Mm-hmm. I know last year it was kind of like the dogs and an air gun.
And like an air gun at the end of the sort of, you're like in the... yard, aren't you? The yard.
However, all of that is indoors now.
Oh, okay.
And they had kind of like searchlights, but they had a gun with like a real, I want it, a prop gun, but it shot.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to find the right words. It sounded like a real gun.
Oh, okay, so like a real gun that is using blanks, kind of thing, like an air rifle.
That's the one. So that kind of shat me up. so again, it was good. I loved it. It was it was fresh. It was different. So awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And
then
Phobia was one of my favorite mazes last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I want to say Phobia was even my favorite. I'm so torn between them all because they were so good. But Phobia for me, felt really fresh.
Mm.
There was lots of different aspects, you know, adding darker rooms. They added more kind of effects. They had like a dentist chair that sprayed water as well as like air.
Oh, wow.
They also had a room where you walked around kind of like a shower curtain and you're like, oh, someone's going to jump out of the shower curtain. And then suddenly like air blast would come underneath the curtain. And it was all good. It was technically, I want to say it was technically more advanced this year. As well as, you know, they had the claustrophobia room and they had the darkness room. The darkness room it didn't make me scared, but it definitely disorientates you.
Awesome.
Because at that point, it's kind of like a free flow maze. I feel like you just go around in circles because that's what it felt like.
I think I remember this room.
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah.
But again, it was very disorientating. So I liked that. Especially, obviously, for a maze that's called Phobia, you want to get all your kind of phobias in there.
Yeah.
But that's the attractions done. The whole kind of event on a whole was amazing. You had the fire show, you had the light show, you had the fun fair, you had the side attractions, which was called the Kill Zone, you had archery, you had, airsoft.
Oh, like, okay, I don't.
It's kind of like airsoft. I've never done airsoft, so I don't know what airsoft is like. But it was literally you firing blanks, but they had like glow sticks coming out of them.
Okay, That sounds different, but cool.
Okay, so it's not airsoft. Anyway, so there were these guns that you fired, and you could see the bullet come out of it because it was like a glow stick.
Okay.
And then you had to hit real-life zombies.
Sounds cool. Sounds like similar to the Anarchy Live. Anarchy... What was it called last year?
The archery one.
Archery one, yeah, that you mentioned. But it's a similar kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, so essentially the whole event was ran perfectly. It was smooth. It was efficient.
We found that last year.
It was so... I just can't believe that within 2 years they have developed so big.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't think there's a huge budget.
It just makes me excited for what's to come.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly feel like these guys are going to go big. Avon Valley is going to be, hopefully, big next year. You know, there's going to be a couple of new attractions. Who knows? But I feel like what they had and what they had achieved was fantastic, which is why we kind of dedicated a video to them.
Yeah, because they really are. I love their attractions, all three of them, yeah. And the team are great, and they're really accommodating, and their whole park, like you say, from beginning to end, just runs so smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, the downside of some Scream parks is you don't get the atmosphere, you don't get the street theatre, you don't get the kind of...
The little things that while you're waiting to see what to do next. Yeah. Like you say, they have the light show, they have the fire show, they have little... off attractions, a little fun fair, and it just makes sense.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's a park that you could spend a good 2 to 3 to 4 hours there.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas some parks you go for an hour and it's like, right, that's it, let's go home.
Awesome. So you enjoyed Fear at Avon Valley?
Of course. And next year we definitely have to go.
Definitely.
All three of us.
You're listening to
Awesome. So I think that brings us to the end of part 2 of our UK Scares, episode 31 of the Scare Trap podcast. Aww. Like we say, if you missed the first part of this, don't panic, just head over back to episode 31. Between the two episodes, we've managed to cover between us Farmageddon, Orton Towers. Sorry, head over to episode 30. This is episode 31. But we've covered Farmageddon, Orton Towers, Twisted Attractions, Dr. Frights, Screamfest, Tully's Farm, Shocktoberfest, Fear at Avon Valley, Fort Amherst, House of the Dead, Thought Park, Fright Nights, and Scare Kingdom. Like we say, we only scratch the surface, so make sure you head over to our friends at scaretouruk.com for all the reviews of nearly every single scare attraction in the UK. We also visited one more scare attraction, which was created by Immersive Events at the Darna Prison. We're going to bringing you a bonus episode, which is near enough all live audio from that attraction. It's like an hour and a half experience. It's set inside a real prison. They let me record the entire thing, so I'm going to take snippets of that and put it in its own little bonus episode, which will be out not long after this episode, episode 31.
I'm looking forward to that because I didn't get to go.
No, it was
so
just
I'm
me.
I'm looking forward to listening to it from a listener's point of view.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You and Sean can tell me how I was by myself.
Yeah, we
were alone. So, like we say, guys, thank you so much for joining us on episode 31 of the Scare Trap podcast. Like we said, make sure you get your Scare Trap merchandise. You can get it from smart-fx.co.uk. Check out our friends at scaretouruk.com. And you can also make sure you check out our friends at the Haunted Attractions Network. They have their app, the Haunted Attractions Network app, where you can literally find every scare attraction podcast you need, including our friends Frequent Fear. So, like we say, that brings us to the end of episode 31 of the Scare Trap podcast. Hannah,
Yay.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And Sean, thanks for joining me.
Oh my God, thank you. I feel like I need a glass of water and to apologise for everyone for listening to me speak so much.
It's only
ever
Mikey that talks that much. It's nice to
I know. Me and Hannah usually just bitch behind your back, Mikey. And
we
like,
usually just
talk
message
so
him
much.
Being like, God, he's talking again.
Whoa. Well, I'm going to end this episode there. It's me that's going to edit all
Hannah,
this.
He's always ending it.
I know.
Right.
So thanks for joining us, guys. And don't forget, if you want to leave us any feedback, do it on the usual platforms, social media, Facebook.
Oh my
Twitter.
God, you failed.
She's tried to do it. You shit.
He's staring at me.
I bet he's like.
So, Sean,
well.
Thanks for joining us, Mikey.
Ah, thank
thanks
you.
Thanks for joining me in the studio today.
Thanks for having me, Hannah. Thanks for doing all the hard work.
Not
like
a problem.
Editing these.
Not
and
a problem at all. And we'll catch
these.
You all soon, Scaretrack fans.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
I finished it. We'll be right back.